Today, the Liberal Party is in Canberra to debate whether to keep or scrap net zero emissions by 2025, a decision which will shape the future of the party. After a devastating election loss, the coalition is looking to rebuild their voter base. Now millennials and Gen Z now make up 47% of the electorate. With a generation of young voters facing the reality of climate change, the coalition faces a similar existential crisis. The Wire's Amelia Crouch spoke with professor from the University of Western Sydney's Institute for Culture and Society, Philippa Collin, about the fate of net zero determining the future for the coalition's voter base.
What we saw in the previous election really demonstrated how what the Liberal Party was offering to younger voters hasn't met the mark. So we know younger voters are being extremely concerned about cost of living, about the future of work and about property prices, all of which are related to one of the big concerns for that generation, which is around climate change. I think for the Liberal Party to regain voting support from the general public as well as the younger voters, both who both voted in the last election and who will be voting in the next election, they have to come up with some really significant and serious policies relating to those issues.
Net zero, to have net zero emissions by 2050, that was previously a bipartisan policy, which was actually enforced by the coalition once they signed the Paris Agreement. Why do you think now net zero has become a partisan issue?
Yeah, look, it's quite bewildering, really, in many regards. I think the Australian public is very much in support of greater action on climate change. Even some of the data that's been released today, which suggests about one third of the Australian public are less sure than they were about net zero, really doesn't speak for the other third to two-thirds of the Australian public that want to see decisive action on climate change. And among younger people, it's much higher than that. So that 77% of young people want to see decisive action on climate change. I think obviously there's a bit of a shift in the broader global space around commitment to net zero and agreement around what kind of action on climate change is necessary. And, you know, I mean, the Liberal Party perhaps hanging on to some older ideas about how we might be able to achieve real change on climate.
Would, like, dumping net zero imply on some level that the coalition denies the threat of climate change?
Well, they are saying that they don't deny the threat of climate change, but I think what it's saying is they're not taking it seriously enough. We know from the latest IPCC report, from all of the scientific experts, both in Australia and internationally, that, you know, we need to take this seriously, and not just that we need to take action to kind of prevent the acceleration of climate-related impacts. We're already facing the realities of increased heat and extreme heat and other climate-related disasters. So it is a bit hard to understand what their alternative strategy is. They haven't been clear about that. And what is for sure is that the status quo is not going to be good enough either from the perspective of the climate or the Australian public.
How could they potentially still address climate change and win back those young voters and those inner city teal seats without necessarily having a robust net zero climate policy?
It's hard from my perspective to see that happening. Certainly the last election, I think, was a very clear message to particularly the Liberals that climate change and the associated effects that climate change has on things like cost of living, housing. We know that all of these areas are impacted, whether that's through food security, whether that's through increased insurance premiums or availability of houses, particularly in communities that have been disaster affected. And so forth, we cannot drop the ball on this. And for young people, it's even more important. Young people, I mean, even just this week, have released the Child and Youth Statement on climate, which will be delivered at the Conference of Parties in Brazil, in which more than 800 young people around Australia contributed to a position statement where they very clearly ask for stronger action to reduce Australia's emissions in line with the global 1.5 degree target, which we've, of course, surpassed and need to get back down under, greater investment in climate resilient services, and youth-centred energy transition planning. And we don't see any of those things really reflected in what the Liberal Party is saying at the moment.
Today they're discussing net zero. They'll probably be discussing it tomorrow as well and finally coming to a decision. It's looking like they are going to at least dump a robust net zero by 2050 climate policy. How would this decision impact the potential of the coalition forming government in the future?
Well, I mean, it looks unlikely that the coalition will get numbers on its own and without support of other independents and without, as I said, kind of winning back many of the seats that they lost at the election. It's quite difficult to see how they would be able to form government again. I think it's interesting as well, even looking within their ranks. I mean, the National Party obviously has taken a position on this, but, you know, I think organisations like Farmers for Climate Action demonstrate that even, you know, those traditional National Party and Liberal Party constituents, many of them also have deep concerns about the impacts of climate change and how we're going to be able to tackle those both nationally and internationally. So, yeah, look, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where things land for the Liberals with regards to net zero. I suspect that walking away from net zero will pacify some of their donors and the lobbyists that are in Canberra asking them to drop it, but it won't go very far to gaining back the support of the Australian public.
Professor Philippa Colling from the University of Western Sydney there, speaking with The Wire's Amelia Crouch.